following is a message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I'm going to finish out our sermon series on prayer. We've been really focusing this month on prayer. And it's been an important thing for us as pastors to kind of pursue this together as a body. And a big part of it comes from a belief that we really believe God is compelling us to pray in this season. I think we can kind of think our desperate circumstances and the things that are going on around us is what's compelling us to pray. But I really believe that it's God that's compelling us to pray in this season. And I think he's compelling us to pray because he knows what happens when his people pray. He knows that intimacy happens with him. He knows that a new kind of partnership happens with him and that releases a power in the body of Christ. And so I really believe that he is stirring us to prayer. If we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, we have a desire to pray. We may not know how to do that. We may not be disciplined in being able to pursue that. But if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you have a desire to pray. And in this season, we just feel like it's something that God is compelling us to as a people because he has some things that he wants to see happen. And he knows that when we begin to pray, those things happen. And so that's being stoked inside of me. I'm spent a lot of time in books about the revivalists of history. That's something that I used to read a lot of. There's like 9 books on prayer. I only read one of them by E.M. Bounds. He just wrote all kinds of things about prayer. And here's one of the things he said. No one can do a great and enduring work for God who is not a man or a woman of prayer. And no one can be a person of prayer without giving much time to prayer. People of powerful prayer are people who mold history. Holy men and women have in the past changed the whole force of affairs. They have revolutionized character and country by prayer, and such achievements are still possible for us. The power is only waiting to be used. And it was just something I was reminded of having read. I had to hunt for it because I don't have the book anymore. But that reality of that people who pray mold history, that there is something in this season that is accessible to us about molding history through prayer during this time. And so that's why we felt like it was important. It wasn't like it just came up on the calendar of churches that this should be the month that we talk about prayer. It wasn't even that we just thought, wow, we're really in trouble, we better pray, although a little feels like that. But it's that we believe that God is calling us as a people, as individuals, but as a corporate people to be people of prayer. We believe that there's something in a foundation that he's laying. So we've had some really good words on prayer. We've talked about different aspects, and I kind of get the privilege today of finishing up. I had started my word on prayer, and as usual, I had more material than time. So I'm just going to kind of carry on in that. And one of the things that I talked about was that to pray without ceasing is to... It's not to constantly be shut away in your room in prayer. And when Paul exhorts us to pray without ceasing, I really feel like I'm coming to view that as a posture that we take in every circumstance, that it becomes, prayer becomes the way that I walk. Prayer becomes the way that I stand. Prayer becomes the way that I sit in every circumstance, and that's what it is to pray without ceasing. And what are some of the things that makes that possible? What are some of the things that aligns me in that way so that I can step into that posture of prayer in every circumstance? So just for some of you, most of you, this will be review. one of the key pieces was that we make prayer a priority. And not even so much that we do it to the exclusion of all else, but that we recognize that prayer is the first thing we do. That it's not the only thing we do. That's what we said. It's not the only thing we do, but it is the first thing we do. That it's the thing that we come into alignment with heaven, whatever is going on in our lives, whether we're praying into or whether we're looking at what's going on in our nation or whether we're looking at what's going on in our own internal world or our own struggles, that it, the first thing I do is I come into prayer for those things. I would say even probably for Pete and Casey that what they're doing with Real Hope is bathed in prayer. That here we see this is a need. We have children that need home and need family. And it's not the only thing we do. There's an active step in making something happen, but its foundation is prayer. That they're praying into what God wants to do for these kids and how they can do that, and that the Lord begins to release the answers through people. They begin to step into it, and it begins to happen. And so it's the first thing we do. That's how we make it priority. It becomes the first thing we do. So when we're faced with something, even I would encourage you, this is my new game that I'm playing, is when anything comes up, like a news article with something that's happening, my job right now is that my first response would be, okay, I'm going to pray about that. Because here's what my first response is. Okay, let me find 4 other articles about this thing to see if this thing is really true or if that's not, you know, whatever. And that's good. It's good to be informed. Sometimes it's not actually very good to be informed, but because who knows what you're being informed in. But my game right now that I'm playing is when something comes up like that, okay, can my first response be prayer on that issue? In my family, when something comes up that's a challenge in one of my relationships with my kids, or I'm not sure what to do about this, or we're having a struggle with something, can my first response be prayer? Can that be the place that I go first? And I'm telling you, it matters. It matters in how the rest of that situation goes. So we make prayer a priority. The other thing in our posturing of prayer is we recognize that prayer is our way of partnering with what God wants to do, and that we come into a partnership with what he's doing. I think sometimes, for me, I can see a situation and I can go, here's what I want to see happen in that situation, and I will go to town on that. I will go to town praying and twisting and convincing and telling God what he should do in that situation. I will go after that. Now, sometimes I'm right. If I'm really walking in the Spirit, I'm already lined up with what God wants. But I want to make sure that I'm partnering with the Spirit of what he wants to do in that thing. And so we talked about the fact that we pray in Jesus' name, and it's not just like a cool hashtag on the end of our prayer, hashtag in Jesus' name, amen. It's not a way to go, okay, if I pray this in Jesus' name, that's it. Am I praying in Jesus' name? Am I representing the name of Jesus in the way that I'm praying? Am I praying his heart in this circumstance? Am I praying what he wants to see happen in this time? Sometimes I'm telling you, my prayer life has been all over the board because I will recognize sometimes I'm in prayer and I'm coming from a place of fear in my prayer. And I can pray all I want in Jesus' name. But if the place that I'm coming from is fear, is okay, I don't want this thing to happen, so I'm going to pray against this thing. But if I'll just take a minute longer and I'll come into a place of, Jesus, how do you see this situation? Then I can begin to pray in partnership with what he wants to do in that situation. I can begin to see what he is already doing. I can tell you that I've had times that I've been in prayer and I'm contending for something, and I'm not seeing God in it. And I'm going, what are we doing? Why are we praying right now? I don't see God moving in this situation. And part of it is because I'm looking for a particular way that God is going to move or a particular way that he's going to act. And if I'll go, okay, show me what you are doing, Jesus. I want to partner with what you are doing in this. Then his goodness begins to come out. I can see his goodness in this situation. I can see how he's coming as a comforter. I can see how he's bringing me together with these other people in this process. I can see whatever it is that he's doing through this hard situation. And so our posture of prayer is this posture of partnering with him. It's this posture of recognizing, again, if we're even a little bit confused about what our role is on the earth right now, it's summed up in John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And our partnership in prayer is, I am resisting the killing, the stealing, and the destroying, and I am partnering with the abundant life. That's our posture in prayer. And that means that my posture, even in how I speak, do you know probably more things that come out of our mouth are like prayer than we think they are? In the sense that I might go to prayer and go, okay, Lord, I want you to do this. And then over here I'm going, yeah, well, this is happening and this is happening and this is happening. I don't want to partner with that. I want to partner with what it is the Lord wants to do. And I want to use my mouth first. I want to have that be a priority. That's the first thing that I'm doing. I'm partnering with what God wants to do. So we make it a priority. We come into partnership with who he is. The other piece is to recognize that you have your own personality in prayer. That it's a very individual thing. And I think sometimes when we can, we're going to say, okay, we're going to have this call to prayer and we want to focus more on prayer, all of a sudden you saddle yourself with this, oh, that means I have to get up in the morning and I have to sit there with a Bible and a notebook and I have to pray for an hour. And we enclose what we think it means to step into a new level of prayer. We kind of box it in with, this is what that looked like. You know, for me, I'm reading all these books of revivalists and things, and I'm telling you, every revival began with a movement of prayer. Every significant movement, okay, I can't say that, that I've read about, every significant movement that I've read about began with a movement of prayer, with people who were crying out to God. And here's the thing, I read this, and they're like, they're praying for hours at a time. They're getting up early in the morning. There's this E.M. Bounds would get up and pray from 4 to 7, 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. And when he was on itinerant speaking, because they still did that in the 1900s, apparently, when he was doing that, he was with other people. He didn't care that there were other people in the room who were still sleeping. And so this was a thing that he would get up and people would complain, other pastors who were itinerant speaking with him, and then he would pray for them. He would pray for them that they would pursue God wholeheartedly and that they would, whatever. And so we can sometimes get this picture of that's what it has to look like, that it has to look like this. And we're going to have a problem sustaining a life of prayer if we decide that's what it has to look like. But one of the things that Jesus brought to us in a way that was so revolutionary was that God is a father, and he wants to interact with you as his kids, and you're unique. You're uniquely wired in the way that you connect with him. And Jesus made it possible for us to understand, I can connect with God as a father, and that he gave me a certain way that I connect that might be different than someone else's way, that I can interact, that he wants to interact uniquely with each of his kids that have different ways of communicating, that have different ways of connecting, different ways of feeling love and giving love, different ways of what's going to sustain them in a life of prayer, that God created them differently. You know, some people love routine. Some people love to get up and do the same thing every day in the same order. I am not one of those people. But some people love that. And for some of you, the key to a disciplined prayer life is going to be that. It's going to be making, I have this routine, and this is how I connect the best to God. And it always happens in this place, at this time, and this is where I can really connect with God. That's going to work for you, that routine. For some people, like me, we have three bathrooms in our house, and sometimes, have I already shared this? Sometimes I like to shower in a different bathroom just for the heck of it because it's not the same. And yeah, there's different shampoo and everything in the different bathroom, but I like that. I like it to be different. And so my prayer life looks like that. My prayer life looks like maybe I'll do it in the morning, maybe not. Maybe I'll do it another time during the day. Maybe I'll do it while I'm driving. Maybe I'll spend time in prayer with another person. But it is not fun to me. I'm a planner. This seems very counterintuitive. I'm a planner, and I like to make plans. But I don't like routine. I don't like doing the exact same thing the same way every day. And so you need to recognize that you have a prayer personality. And for you, it's going to just be about being intentional about spending that time, and it might be in a different place or a different time, or it might be while you walk, or it might be while you drive, or, you know, some of you will connect when you're working out, and some of you wouldn't work out, so you're going to connect while you're doing something else. So it's different for everybody. I think in the same way, let me see if I can salvage that. In the same way that fitness is different for everybody, and that what you do for fitness is it's a preference. Some people like group classes. Some people like to run by themselves for miles and miles, you know, whatever it is. Did I fix it? No, not so much. So it's going to be different for everybody. But what it is can I be intentional to spend this time? I may not be a morning person, so I may not do it in the morning. Maybe I'll do it in the evening. But can I be intentional to spend time with the Lord in a way that works for me? Some people, I have friends who have prayer apps. Yes, that's allowable and still godly. So they have prayer apps, and that really works well for them. That it's an app that'll come up, and it'll have a prayer focus, and it'll even play a little bit of background music. And it'll have a specific amount of time. I have a friend that showed me an app the other day that it's an app and it's questions for Jesus. And each day you click on it and you have a question that you're going to ask Jesus that day, and it plays a little bit of soaking music while you just interact with Jesus. And this app works for them. That, now, I can tell you that would not work for me because there are other apps on my phone. And so I would turn my prayer app on, and then all of a sudden, I'd have emails and texts, and so I don't know if that would work for me, but for some people, that works. Some people, like, do you know you don't have to sit still when you pray? Like, for some people, that is the death nail on prayer life, is to think, I would have to sit in a chair and be still while I pray. You don't have to do that. My dad never does that, ever. He's a walker. He's a prayer walker. He'll be in the room pacing, and no, he's not upset. He's just praying. So you can walk, you can move, you can pray while you're doing some other things. Now, as it relates to personality, this is not saying, well, my personality is never to be inconvenienced, or my personality is to never sacrifice anything. Because prayer is going to require a little inconvenience. And it is going to require a little sacrifice. That's not a personality thing. That's a discipleship thing. There's a reality to, we can say, well, my personality really isn't to pray. This is a way that we get to be like Jesus. We get to be people of prayer. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to do that. So prayer is in your personality. But it is, what does that look like? There's any number of ways that that can look. So I would encourage you, as we're being intentional about prayer, ask the Lord, how have you wired me to connect best to you? What does that look like? What does it look like as I'm trying to lead my kids in prayer? I'm asking, how have you wired her to connect best with you? And how can I draw her into that? Or how can I draw him into that? That we can connect with the Holy Spirit both for ourselves and for those of us that are parents that are trying to train our kids in prayer, that it doesn't have to just look this way. It doesn't just have to be, this is what prayer looks like. What's a way that would work for them? You know, does it help them to play with Legos while you pray together? You know, whatever that is, what does that look like? So we have making prayer a priority, making sure that we're in partnership with Jesus as we pray, knowing that we have a unique prayer personality and finding that place. And the final piece, just as we wind down, is it really just comes down to practice. It comes down to just doing the thing that you know, even I here, let's talk about working out, because that was such a great subject for me earlier. When we've gotten a gym membership, right? So we've gotten a gym membership because you're paying for the thing now, and so it like motivates you to want to go, supposedly. But anyway, so it motivates you to want to go. Right now, we're like really good donors to the YMCA. But so it motivates you to want to go. And so here's what I'll do sometimes when we're trying to go, okay, we're trying to go at least 3 days a week or whatever. I haven't left enough time because I didn't get up early enough or whatever else. But I will go for the 15 minutes that I have. And I will change my clothes. And I will walk on the treadmill for 5 minutes. And then I will leave. But part of it is, I don't want to get out of the habit. So even though I didn't get to put in the full 1 hour workout, I don't work out for an hour, like the full half hour workout, you know, whatever it is. Even though I didn't get to do that, I want to continue to build up that endurance, and I don't want to get out of that habit. And so prayer becomes a practice in our lives that, okay, so whatever I'm doing now, how can I just do it a little more? What does it look like for me to just do it more? And so if that means I don't need to shoot for the two-hour prayer session, unless you're doing 1 hour and 45 minutes now, I would say yes, shoot for the two-hour prayer session. But I just need to do it more than I'm doing it right now. So what does that look like for me? I'm just going to practice it, and I might not even be very good at it right away. I might not even, you know, I'll go, well, I don't know, I did the thing, and maybe it doesn't feel amazing, and angels didn't sing, and, you know, whatever. But it takes practice to cultivate a life of prayer. It takes practice. It takes practice to begin to kind of reset your desires, even. In this last season, as I've pursued God more in prayer, I found myself having an appetite for everything else besides prayer. So I'd set aside this time, and I go, and all of a sudden I'm thinking about all these other things, or I want to look up something else, or maybe I'll read a book instead. It's about Jesus, so it's still good. And, you know, whatever, like our appetite for prayer, it takes time to develop that. It takes time to develop endurance in prayer. And so I want to encourage us to just practice. I believe that God is calling us to be a people of prayer because he wants to lay a foundation for a work that he's about to do. This isn't about we're Christians and so we should just pray. Yes, it's part of the discipline of Christian life. It's a normal part of Christian life. But I'm telling you, this is a season that God is laying a foundation for a work that he's about to do. And it is worth putting in the time. It is worth putting in the practice time to say, okay, I'm going to pursue this in prayer. I'm going to see where God wants to take prayer in my life. I'm excited to see where God wants to take prayer in our lives as a house, as a body. There's some things that he wants to lay in the foundation of prayer, because the reality is our external life can't be bigger than our internal life. And what I mean is that the things that we do that are seen as individuals or as a body, as a church, the ways that we want to impact our community, the ways that we want to impact issues like foster care and adoption, I want to see that changed. I want to see that changed, that whole system where kids have a place to be, as well as a system where families have support so kids can stay in families. I want to see that whole thing changed. But the way to impact those things in the seen realm happens in the unseen places. And my life, my external life, can never be bigger than my internal life as it relates to the things that we can have impact in individually and as a church. And so he is compelling us to prayer in this time, because I believe there are things in your life that he's saying, I want you to have an impact in these areas. I want you to have an impact in your family. I want you to have an impact in your workplace and in your community. And I've called you to that. But it has to be built on the foundation of our prayer life. It has to be built on the unseen places, on what we cultivate with the Holy Spirit. I think it's interesting that Moses, for example, he was totally commissioned by God to do the works of God, and yet he couldn't step into it without prayer, without this constant communion with God, even though it was something that God said, this is something I want you to do. Jesus was commissioned by God. He had a purpose, and there was a role that he was meant to play, but he couldn't step into the fullness of it apart from a life of prayer. We see all through Scripture how Jesus went away to pray. He constantly had this connection to God in prayer. And so the things that God has commissioned for you to do, the things that God has commissioned for us as a body to do, there is purposes and plans yet to come that he has called us to individually and as a body. It is going to be built on a foundation of prayer. The things that are seen and that are impacted in the seen realm are going to be built in the unseen. And so he's calling us to enlarge our internal life, to enlarge the life of prayer in the unseen. I'm excited about what God's going to do. And one of the reasons is because I feel the urgency in him for prayer. Like I can feel him stirring us to prayer. And I'm excited that it's because he's about to do something in a major way in this region. It is not our goal to have a good local church. We would like that. I think we have that. It's not our goal. But that's not where that ends. It is our goal to see a city, a nation in revival because of what's operating in you. So as a body, that's what we're going after. We're going after seeing change in these areas, and it's going to be built on a foundation of prayer. Prayer is how God chose to give us access to him and to his resources. And I want to access all of it. I want to access all of who he is. So I'm just going to pray because it's all about prayer. And I'm going to do it in Jesus' name, but not just because I have to. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are stirring your body to prayer. We thank you that you are fanning the flame, that you are causing us, you're compelling us to come into a place of prayer, and that you're doing it for the sake of intimacy with us, and you're doing it for the sake of what you want to do on the earth around us. We thank you that you are building a foundation for the works that you're about to pour out, for the things that you're about to do, for the things that are about to change around us in an amazing way. We thank you that we get to be part of building that foundation of prayer. So, Lord, we ask that we would make it a priority, that it would be the first thing that we turn to. We ask that we would partner well with you, Jesus, that we would know your heart, that we would pray your heart. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is our coach in this and that he's going to guide us in knowing what to pray. We thank you that you want to interact with us uniquely, that there's a personality of prayer that you want to develop in each one of us, that we would get to know what it looks like for us to interact with you in that way. We just ask that for people that have never really found that place, that you would draw them into the goodness of prayer in whatever way that looks like for them. And Lord, we thank you that you are making us a people that will pursue this, that will practice this in our lives. You're stirring in us the desire to pray. You're stirring in us the desire to connect with you. And we just say yes. We say yes to becoming a people of prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. To learn more about us, please visit livingwatersmn.org.